This month, Mitz Hashem, Chaf Iyar. A little ways to go. Chaf Iyar will be the Yoretzid of the Chernobyl Magid. Of Mordechai from Chernobyl, the son of the Heidegger Tzaddik, the Marinayim. Schusim Magdalino. Many great Chassidic dynasties come from the Magid. For example, Skver, Chernobyl, of course. Rachmas Shikva, yeah.
Nedvarn,
yeah. I'm thinking of one also. Slipping my mind. Oh, come to me. Of course, the Trisker Magi was a son. He had Heiliger sons, many, many sons, all very, very big neshamas. And his birth, how he came into the world. Once the Maggid from Mezrich, was performing a mitzvah dance, and the minig was to give Shabbos gel to the Badchen. You know, the Badchen, he says jokes, he calls up the tzaddik to come do the mitzvah dance, and the minig was to give what's called Shabbos gel to the Badchen, and he didn't have any money on him. So very quickly the Marinayim saw what was going on. And he came running with a sum of money and he gave it to the Magid, and the Magid was able to give it to the Badchen. So somehow, some way, it made an Eis Ratzon. That the Magid was very, for Mezrich, was very pleased by this act of chesed that the Marinayim did for him. And he said to him, that in the schus that you gave me the money for the Badchen, you should know for a long time I'm holding on to a neshama which needs to come into this world and I don't know who to give it to. But now that you gave me the Badchen Geld, Shabbos Geld, I'm giving you that neshama, on the condition that the tzaddik of Pinchas Karzer is maskin. So Pinchas Karzer was maskin, and he gave him the neshama of a Mordechai Chernobyl, the Magid from Chernobyl. His son, the Trisker Magid, the Magen Avram, he writes in his Sefer about his father. He said that he was mezachich his guf, he purified his guf to be just like his neshama. And so Mamela, his neshama was like the neshama of a neshama. And he said that my father said that if he wants, he can go up to Shemaim with his body, with his guf, like Eliyahu Navi. He can go straight into the Gan Eden if he wants to, because of how much he was careful in Shmiras Habris. But because he doesn't want to do anything different than the other tzaddikim of the generation, he doesn't do so. It's like, v'haf tzaddik ha-kumaychi. He was careful not to do anything different than them. Once, there was a the Chassidim were sitting together with the Magid, and they were talking about the Shvach, the greatness of the hidden tzaddikim. And as we'll see from the coming stories, that you know, every tzaddik has an inyan. So the inyan of the Magid from Chernobyl was to be mefarnes. He took care of the lamed of tzaddikim. So they were once sitting, and they were speaking about the special uniqueness of the lamed vav tzaddikim, the hidden tzaddikim. So one of the the talmidim asked the Magid if he would like to see, you know, what one of the tzaddik nisters look like. So the Magid looked at him and he said, "You're looking at one." Of course, he was stunned, the chassid, because he thought that the Magid from Chernobyl was a revealed tzaddik. So he said, "It's a big rachmanas, halavai, you should be able to see what we see." There was once a certain rav from a nearby city who wasn't amongst the Chassidim, it doesn't seem like he was amongst the Misnagdim either, who came on Achron Shel Pesach to be by the Tish of the Maggid. And as soon as he stepped foot into the door of the house, the shtibel of the Maggid looked to the door and said to him, he says, you need to do tshuva because you eat chametz in Pesach. So he was mamish terrified. And he went home after the tish and he was looking to see where he had any chametz. So there's some chassidim that they have the custom that before Pesach, all the water which they're going to use for Pesach, they fill it up before Pesach. I mean, they don't take fresh water. They have to set it aside before Pesach. So he went and it happened that he looked inside of this barrel of water that he had filled before Pesach, and right on the bottom of the barrel there was a big juicy piece of chametz there.
Like
kakish
or something?
Yeah, yeah. Kakish. That's So afterwards he came back to the Maggid and he saw that he saw everything. And he said, Rebbe, I just don't understand. One question. If you're able to see so good, able to see from a distance that I have chametz in my barrel, so why don't you tell me before Pesach? So he says, because before you came to me, I had no shaykhs to you. But the second that you came to me and you stepped foot in my house, I had shaykhs to you. I was able to see everything about you. Along those lines, forging a kesher with a tzaddik, doing a toiva to a tzaddik so the tzaddik could do a toiva for you back. I heard this from my Rebbe, and this is a story which they have. Bekavola, my Rebbe heard from his Rebbe and heard from his father. That once the Maggid came to a certain town, and there was a Misnagid who heard about the Maggid that at night, in the middle of the night, at Chatzos, so neshamas come to him for tikkun. And he thought this was just one big joke. So he decided he was gonna, you know, show the chassidim the truth about the Maggid. And he hid himself in the room, and in a dresser, some type of a closet. And when it came time for Chatzos, So the Rebbe closed the door. And then all of a sudden the Shamish came knocking on the door. And he said, Rebbe, he says, there are people who are waiting outside. There are some women who they want to come see you. So the Maggid goes, women are outside. Are they rich or are they poor? So the Shamish was all shocked that the Rebbe would ask such a thing. So he says, I don't know, Rebbe. How should I know? He says, well, look at their clothes and tell me what they look like. And he was mamish, he couldn't believe that the Rebbe was saying such things. So this Misnaga was in the room and he's going like this with his hands, like, oh, mamish, he's got the juice on the Maggid now. He's going to tell everybody what he's doing at Chatzos. He's inviting women to come in. He's got it. So all of a sudden the Mishamish, he says, okay, Rebbe, I'll go, fine. He leaves, closes the door. A few moments later, all of a sudden he starts to hear noises in the room. Rebbe, do a tikkun for me, do a tikkun for me. And Imamish gets the chills going down his spine. Imamish, he can't believe it. So the Rebbe turns to this, to the Neshama, and he says, did you ever do me a toiva? So he says, no. He says, I don't remember ever receiving a single penny from you, nothing. I says, so Rebbe, what am I going to do? And this Misnagid is listening to this conversation. So he says, next to you in the Beis HaKvaris, there's another Yid who's buried there. When he was alive, he gave me, you know, five coins. If he'll be mavatir on one of the coins for you, I'll do you a toiva. So the neshama says back, sounds great, Rebbe, thank you so much. I just have one question. How is the neshama going to believe me? How is he going to believe me? I'm going to tell him that you said to give me the coin? How will he know that I'm telling the truth? So the Rebbe said, I have an eitzah for that. He goes over to the closet, opens it, and says, Yankel's going with you.
So
He says, you're going to tell him in my name that I said to give the coin. So he says, well, why are they going to believe me? He says, here's my staff. Gave him his makel. He says, you go with my staff and you tell him, when he sees my stack, he'll know that this is the answer. The tzaddikim said that he had the neshama of Reb Shimon Bar Yochai. And the Rishoner, who was a mechutin, he said about the Chernobyl Magid, he says, Mordechai is Vashetevos Megale Rosin D'Araisa Kebar Yochai. Vashetevos Megale Rosin D'Araisa Kebar Yochai. It once happened on Chag HaShavuos that there was a delay in the Maggid from coming to the Tish. And it wasn't his teva to be late, you know. By some chassidim, by rebbes, they come late, but by the Maggid, he was very punctual. And everybody didn't know what was going on, and the Halakha children of the Maggid, they realized that something was different. And it's not that the Tata was sleeping or anything like that. There was something going on behind closed doors. So he finally came to the Tish. And he said, in Shuldix, he said to his children, he said, I apologize. He said, I had a very chashiv gas. Eliyahu Navi came, and I couldn't come any earlier. And he told me that Avram, Yitzchak, Yaakov, Moshe, Aaron, Yosef, and David, they're all maskim, that together we're all tzaddiki ador, that it's time for Mashiach to come. But all they need your haskama because you're the tzaddik down below. If you'll be masking for Mashiach's coming, then the time has come. And I said, I'm not masking. And we got into a whole conversation. And the Trisker Maggid, his son, was sitting there quietly, listening to this, but it was an earshot of another chassid who was there, and he couldn't believe that the Maggid would refuse such a proposition. He said to him, he said, Rebbe, how could you not agree to that? The whole, we're waiting thousands of years for Mashiach to come to you, and you say no? So he said, because I showed Eliyahu HaNavi that if Mashiach would come now, there would be some neshamas who wouldn't make it. And every single neshama has to be accounted for. So this chassid got very upset, and he said, Rebbe, he says, what does it matter? Mashiach should come already, and that's it. So the Maggid turns to him, and he says, how do you know that you won't be one from amongst them? And now he's quiet after that. How do you know you won't be amongst those who don't make it? In fact, a lot of stories about the Maggid. He mentioned that he made lots of travels and he was Mefarnes Lam of Tzaddikim. So he once came to a certain place and he stayed at the hotel, and Kedarka Bakoidesh, every single day, he would lock himself in a room wearing talis and tefillin until mincha time, and then after mincha, he would begin his day with the people. But he closed himself for many, many hours every day. And nobody was allowed to come in, the shamashim, everybody knew. So all of a sudden, in this town, a wagon pulled up right next to the hotel. And a yid came out with a bal kaima and a tzura with a hadras panim. Looked like a very chashuv person. And he went straight in. Didn't ask for shus to the gabayim. He opened the door and went right into the maggid. Closed the door. And it was just him and the maggid. And nobody knew their conversation. And then he got back onto the wagon after leaving the room, and he left. Anybody who saw was very confused. So after Mincha, as he was taking off his tefillin, so one of these spectators came in and had the, you know, the guts to ask the Rebbe what happened. So the Maggid said this: in every generation there's a tzaddik who could be Mashiach. And if the generation is fit, then he's assigned that task. But before he could be Mashiach, he needs the permission and the haskama of the tzaddiki hador, that they should be masking for him to be Mashiach. And this Yid who came today was a very big tzaddik, one of the biggest of the generation, who was fit to be Mashiach, and he came to ask me permission to be Mashiach. And he asked for my haskama. And I said no. So he said, why not, Rebbe? He says, because this proper seder of becoming Mashiach is that first you need to have permission min Hashemayim, and then you need permission of Tzaddiki Hador. But because you went to Tzaddiki Hador first, before you ask Shemayim, he says, a Mashiach like this I don't want. There's a lot of things going on in the world that we don't know about, right?
A lot of opportunities for Mashiach.
Yeah.
I'll leave them elders.
Rav Matala, the Rebbe, he once came to a city. There were many chassidim there. And when he came to the cities, you can imagine they were all running and pushing and shoving to come close to the tzaddik. And there was a certain Yid who was standing a distance away, and he didn't want to get involved in that scene, in the pushing. And he was looking and he was admiring and thinking about, you know, what will be when Mashiach comes? All the people, all the Yidin will be running. I mean, mamash, unbelievable. Tens, hundreds of thousands of Yidin will be trying to come to the Mashiach.
Imagine the pushing.
So that's what he was wondering. He was thinking about that. And so the Chernobyl Maga, he, like many tzaddikim did do, he chapped his machshava. He thought that he was thinking that. And he went over to him amongst this whole thing. And he says, listen carefully. He says, when Mashiach comes, he says, there's going to be so much room to come to Mashiach because everybody's going to be hiding. Nobody's going to want Mashiach to see them. As soon as Mashiach will see them, he's going to know everything about them. So nobody, you're going to have straight, if you have the koyach to come, you're going to be the only one. That's what he said. Another Yid. He came to the Maggid for Shabbos. It was a group of Yidden who came. And as always, there were some who were higher, you know, bigger Bali Avoida, and there were simple people who came too. And there was a group of Yidden on their way back home who were staying at a hotel, and they were schmoozing, and they were saying, oh, this was such a big Shabbos, and the Torah was at the Rebbe, and the Tish, and everything was mamish, unbelievable. And there was one Pashat Yid who seems like he could hardly speak and understand Lashon HaKodesh or Yiddish and Torah, whatever it was. So he says, he also had so much Hanah the Shabbos. And they looked at him like, you know. So he says, so what did you get from Shabbos? He says, oh, I'll tell you. He says, as I went to go say goodbye to the Maggid. So the Maggid stopped me, and it wasn't just a shalom goodbye. He said to me, so, no, tell me a little bit about yourself. What goes on in your home? So he says, Rebbe, you want to know what goes on in my home? So he says, it's just like every home in Klai Yisrael, Baruch Hashem, nice mishpacha, good. And he says, no, I want to know your schedule. That's why I'm asking you. Oh, he said, my Rebbe, my schedule? Sure, I'll tell you. I wake up every morning, I do Netilas Yadayim. I put on my clothes. And I go out to the town, and I start to buy goods because I know I might have to sell them later in that day for a better price. So after buying goods early in the morning, I come back at about 8 o'clock in the morning. Then I wash my face and I wash my hands again, and I say Birchas HaTorah, and I daven, and I say Tehillim, and then I have a little schnapps. I drink a little bit, and I have suda, and then I make Birchas HaMazon. Then I rest a little, and then I go back to the marketplace to sell to the goyim. And then I come back home and I daven mincha ma'ariv and I drink a little more schnapps and I have dinner, birchas hamazon, kriyas shema, I go to sleep, and that's my daily routine. So the Maggid said to him, "This is not okay." He says, "It's not right that you go out to the shuk, you know, to the shuk to buy your merchandise before you daven." So he said, I apologize, Rebbe, I know it's maybe not be the best thing, but if I don't take that opportunity to buy the merchandise then, so I'm not going to have a parnasa because it's going to already be too late by the time I make it later to sell to the goyim. They're gone, it's just not going to work. So the Rebbe said, let me tell you a ma'aseh shehayah. There was a yid that he had a father-in-law who supported him for many years, and then he passed away and money ran out and he had to go make a parnasa. He left his house for 3 years, saved up all the money that he could, didn't send even a penny back to his family in the meantime, because he was going to take that money and make an investment and start a business when he got back home. On his way home, he stopped at an inn, and he didn't really want to because he thought he was so close to being home, but it was Shabbos was coming and he felt like he had no choice, and he was thinking to himself, should I stop at the inn? Should I not stop at the inn? Maybe I should just try to make it home. He says, I'm going to stop in the inn. And then he had to make the decision, is he going to give it over to, what is he going to do with his money? He doesn't want to just leave it in his room. He wants to give it to the people to put it in the safe. But how could he trust the innkeeper? So he was going back and forth. He was torn what to do. He says, I'm just going to give it to the innkeeper. So he gives the innkeeper his backpack, and he gives him the money. The whole Shabbos, he's thinking to himself, he's regretting that he had done that. Maybe they're not going to give it back to me. They're going to take some of the money, this, that. So after Shabbos is over, the innkeeper saw he was very nervous. So he came over to him right away and he handed him the money. All of his money, he looked in. Every single penny was accounted for. And he turns to him, he said, where's my backpack? Where's my backpack? So he said, oh, your backpack? Yeah, yeah. He gives him the backpack. So he says, it was a shoita. He says, he gave him the money. It was 3 years worth of money which he had saved. And he asked him where the backpack was. If he was Naaman to give him the money, so he had a migu. Of course he's going to be Naaman to give him the backpack. So he said to the seer, he says, you're this guy. That's why. He says, every morning you go, every night you go to sleep, and your neshama goes up, and Hashem looks at your neshama, and he says, should I give you back your neshama? You know what? I believe in you, that you're going to make a good choices today. And he gives you your neshama back every single day. He says, he gives you back the most precious thing in the world. If he gives you back your neshama, don't you think he's going to give you your parnasa too? That's what he said. If he's giving you already your neshama back, which is so precious, don't you think he's going to take care of your parnasa? So don't worry about your parnasa. If he's giving you your neshama, going to give you back your panasa too. So he says, don't worry about what's going to happen in the shuk. If you wake up in the morning and he gave you back your neshama, what's going to be with the nachem is going to be with the nachem. But if he gave you back your neshama, he'll give you your panasa too. He had an inyan that because he would collect for the Lamed of Tzaddikim, that in order to have the kavod and the schus for him to come to your home, into the home, he wouldn't step foot into the house until you pledged a certain amount of money to give to Lamed of Tzaddikim. That was his condition. The other tzaddik who was like this, Rupersh Rimanover, was like that too. But these two tzaddikim had an inyan that you had to give big pidyonis. The number they always use in the stories is 200 ruble. That was like a minimum donation that you had to give for him to come to the home. And he would use that money to be mefanes Lama of Tzedek. And there's many stories about this. We're not going to go through all of them. It's getting late. So he was once... Rabbi Yitzchak Stachiner. This is a story from Stachin. So the Maggid from Chernobyl, he was once traveling, and as he did always, and his wagon got stuck in a ditch, and they couldn't pull it out, and it was freezing. It was the middle of the winter, and the Maggid was very cold. And the Gabbai knew that they were not too far from a certain town, and there was a Gvir there who was not far away. And he went running to tell this Gevir to come and to help, get his people to come help to pull it out. and to help Magid. So they came running with his men and they were pulling it out. And he told the Magid, he says, follow me, come Rebbe, I'll take you to my home. It's going to be warm inside and I'm going to warm you up. He said the Magid was so frigid, he was so cold. He said that he couldn't even move, he couldn't walk to follow him. So this Yid, he grabbed the Magid and he swung him over his shoulder and he started to walk with him, to bring him to his home. It's Sakana Safashis for the Magid. So they were so close to getting into the door, and he said, Rebbe, don't worry, soon you're going to have a really hot fireplace, it's going to warm you up, you're going to be back to yourself in no time. So as soon as he was about to come and cross the door, the Magid said, I'm not going in until you give me money. You pledge money, I'm not coming into the house. Rabbi said, no. He refused to come in under such circumstances until he said that he would give him 200 rubles. Ad kedekach, he was meiser nefesh for it.
Give me that bread, baby.
There was once a certain... There was a big gvir that he didn't want. He was very miserly and he didn't want to give any money. And the Magid Dafka wanted to get money from him. They were Dafka wanted because these people needed tikkun nefesh. So the tzaddik tries to get from these people so that they should have a schus. Come to Shemayim, they could say that they help Lama Vatzadik, and that goes a long way. So finally, this miser agreed to have the Magid. But he told the Magid that only you can come, but not Chassidim. And he said, why not Chassidim? So he said, because the Chassidim, they have messy boots and they come into my palace. And, I can't be soivel that. It doesn't work for me. So the Magid said, okay, I'll come and Chassidim will stay outside. As soon as he walked in, this usher was very happy. And he said, I wanted to show the Rebbe my house. So the Magid... So he says, every floor which you want me to go up is going to cost you an extra amount of money. You sure you want me to do this? Said, yes, Rebbe, I'll pay the extra money, more money, whatever it is, to get the Magid to do it. He was happy to. So when he brought him into his very, very precious room, the room that he really wanted the Magid to see, so the Magid said like this, let me tell you a very nice story. There was once a very wealthy Jew who was traveling in the forest, and in the middle of the forest, the horse was very weak and tired, and he went into a ditch and got stuck. And then the wagon turned over, and this weak animal was not going to be able to pull out the wagon. So the usher himself went in, and he took some stronger horses and he attached it to this agala, and... even still, he wasn't able to get it out. Until the usher himself, what didn't work by attaching the horses, he had to go in into the depths, into this disgusting mud, and to with all of his koyach, he was able to pull it out of this hole, of this ditch. But because of that, he became very dirty. But I made the mistake. It wasn't his horse. It was somebody else's horse. Yeah, it was a passerby, and this passerby, you know, he was the wealthy yid with his strong horses. He was able to help this yid who was stuck in the ditch with his weak horse. So many years passed, and the usher passed away, and he came in front of the Beis Din Shlomayla, and they saw that he had a lot of averus. It didn't look good. But then all of a sudden there was a malach which came and he says, wait! He says, this yid has a schus that he helped the yid in need. This is only one mitzvah? He says, it wasn't just one mitzvah. He put a lot of money into it. He put his horses and they take the horses and they put it on the scale and all these types of things. He says, no, I'm sorry, it doesn't outweigh the various which he had. So what about all the schmutz and all the mud which he had to get dirty with? He says, what's mud? It was schmutz, what's mud? Mud isn't worth anything. He says, how do we know it's not worth anything? He says, let's see, maybe it is. So there was a psak from the Beis in Shalmaila, which says that if this Yid comes back into this world, we'll find out from him whether or not Shmutz in the mud really is worth anything. So this Yid all of a sudden realized that that's him. As soon as he heard that, he said, all the chassidim come in with the boots, with all the mud, everybody's coming in. Yeah. One last story. It's getting late, but just didn't want to pass up on the story. The Magid from Chernobyl, he was once thrown into a dungeon by the Russians. And they tried everything to get him out, but nothing worked. But they were able to sneak in his talis and his tefillin and some meichel and some mishteh. And as we said, he supported Lamed Vav Tzadikim. And even while he was in the dungeon, it still continued. There was a little window by where he was, and that people would come, and even poor people, and he would be mefarnes through the window. Nobody knew how he got all the food and the money which he had, but he was able to continue to do his avodas Hashem from the cellar in a miraculous way. There was one woman who came, and she took the money, and she said to the window, through the window, she says, Rebbe, I have a question. It says in the Gemara Baba Kama that the daughter of this Nechunya HaChoyfer, Shichin, this Nechunya who used to make ditches, used to make holes, and he would fill it with water, so that the Oily Aregel, those who were coming up to Yerushalayim, they would have water to drink. That was his avoida. He would go around making, basically making water stations for Yidden who would make the track to come to Yerushalayim. And his daughter fell into a pit, and it was Sakanas Nefashas, and Rabbi Chunya ben Dois, Rabbi Chanina ben Doisa, he made a big limud tzchus. He said that how could it be that this Yid, that he works tirelessly to make ditches in order to sustain the early regal, that his daughter should die in a ditch? What type of midas hadin would that be? And with that, she was miraculously saved. So she said, Rebbe, I don't understand. Your father, the Heil Gemara Inayim, his inyan was Pidyon Shvuyah. Pidyon Shvuyah, that he would rescue captives. How could it be that his son, which is you, could be taken captive based on that Gemara? That was her question. So the Maggid said to her, you know what, I'm wondering the same thing. I don't know the answer to that. So this woman, she gave him a bracha, that you should come out of here speedily. And then she left. And that very day, the officer came, and he says, you're free to go home. And the Maggid knew, ki lo davar pashatu. This was not a simple thing that this woman came and asked him this question, and she gave him a bracha. And he wanted to know this inyan, and he worked very hard in his avodas Hashem, through his tefillas, to know what was going on with this. And it was megal to min hashamayim that this was Rachel Imenu. Rachel Imenu came herself. She was part of the Yeshua. It's a kasha Rachel Imenu can ask. It's a kasha Rachel Imenu can ask. Yeah, right. As an akasha.
Yeah.
It was more of a rhetorical question. Anyway,